offering our loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. As always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, and with me is Brother Harishankar. We are in the sixth discourse of the 1991 Summer Course series. This one's about the Prashnopanishad. We've been going through this for a couple of weeks now, more than a couple of weeks, because this is one of the bigger discourses that we've taken up, and also, as you'd have heard, it's a discourse we have retranslated. That also happens to make the discourse a little longer than it is usual, because when Swami is speaking live, the translation is also much faster. So probably we'll complete this discourse this week. So to speak about what Swami said last week, we had a few points which we had to start our discussion with today, and to go on to the discourse clip which we'll be discussing today, I invite Brother Hari to join all of us. Sairam Hari.
Sairam Prem.
I think last week Swami very, very beautifully transitioned from talking about those questions and what are the qualities the student requires to slowly, you know, to the point of the self and what actually is needed for a person to carry on in this thing. I was just going through the clips which we played the week before that, and probably I'll just give a quick structure of what Swami was telling, more or less, in that part, especially when Swami was talking about, you know, what it calls for to take on a journey such as this. The six students go and ask Sage Pipilada that. Swami says that, you know, it's a three-step process, where it is knowing, seeing and experiencing, that Jnatum, Drashtum and Praveshtum. And Swami was saying that knowing, three things are required. One is approaching the right person to seek the knowledge, because if you want to gather information, you should ask the people who have the information. Then to acknowledge that you don't have the information yourself, that humility is very important. Without that, you will not approach anybody at all. And Swami said, just don't look for knowing, you know, unidirectionally. You strive for awareness, and awareness is in the 360 degree view. Or, you know, Swami was saying that Desha Kala Paristhiti, knowing the complete idea of anything is awareness. So Swami says,
with context.
With the context. And, you know, that will give you the ability to adapt your knowledge to different situations. So Swami says, don't stop with knowing, progress towards awareness. Then Swami was speaking about the three qualities that a student is necessary to have. And that was devotion, determination and discrimination. And speaking about devotion, Swami said it is that one-pointedness and the wholehearted approach to know something. And Swami says, even if it calls for laying your life, you should be prepared to. That is the kind of devotion. It's not the bhakti devotion, but it is that devoted to the cause. That sort of a devotion. Then talking of determination, Swami said that you fix your goal, and whatever comes your way, you don't change your goal depending on the obstacles that come on your way. And that is determination. And talking about discrimination, Swami said, discrimination has to be universal, it has to be social. Whether you discriminate or anybody else discriminates in the other part of the globe, the result should be the same. You know, that is true discrimination.
That's, I think it needs to be tied up there, because when you say devoted and devoted to a cause, a lot of questions arise in people's minds. You know, what if you are devoted to the wrong kind of cause and you kill people or you give up your life in, you know, for that cause? So that's why the very important ingredient has to be discrimination.
Exactly, discrimination. Yeah. And Swami says it is universal. It's not like it changes with your, as you're saying, with your cause. It should be something which is applicable to everybody.
The eternal principle.
Right, at all situations. And talking about discrimination, Swami said, such discrimination is possible only when there is no self-interest. Because the moment there is self-interest, you will only do discrimination to justify your stance. So Swami was talking about discrimination. And then Swami, I mean, these are the qualities you require. Then Swami said, what are the distractions which can come? And one thing which Swami spoke about is the desire for rights.
Right.
You know, don't talk about your entitlements and what, you know, what is your right. Swami said, the moment you start focusing on the duties, the rights will automatically follow. And in that context, Swami was talking about, you know, there is the real fruit and the shadow fruit. You go after the real fruit, the shadow fruit will also be obtained. And then Swami was telling that after knowledge is gained in this manner, after this whole process has gone through and you get the knowledge, Swami said, use that knowledge for the benefit of others. Mm. In other words, skill that knowledge. And when knowledge is skilled, balance is obtained. Mm. And when balance is obtained, insight comes.
Right.
That's what Swami said. And after that, Swami goes on to tell, I mean, he was talking about students in general, and he was saying that every student has this ability. It is not like those six students of Pipilada alone were capable of that. Every student has this ability. Swami said, elders are not guiding properly, and the situation today in the society is not suitable. And Swami said, but that is not something which should bother you, because you can be driven from with your purpose inside, within you. And in that context, Swami said, so that self-confidence and that faith within will help you overcome, these flaws in society.
Right. Yeah.
And from there, Swami said, self-confidence leads to self-satisfaction, and self-satisfaction leads to self-sacrifice, and and then on to
self-realization. Yes. Right. So I think that's about where we wound up our discussion last time.
Right.
And yeah, I recall that it's so beautifully the flow of the thoughts over here. And Swami speaking about this, the analogy which he gave, that most of us, we tend to climb the shadow tree and run after the shadow fruits, and because we don't know what is a real tree to climb.
Right.
And Swami says there's a real tree to be climbed with real fruits, and the moment you attain those fruits, you'll notice your shadow also has arranged the fruit. Right. Has obtained the fruits. But then the question still remained with us, like, what is this real tree to be, to be climbed? This is Swami then speaks about the a concept which very often he has spoken about in discourses, especially to students. It's very relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So he describes the house of self-realization.
Right.
And he says the foundation of the house of self-realization is self-confidence, and around that is built the wall of self-satisfaction.
Right.
And then comes the roof of self-sacrifice, and that constitutes the house of self-realization.
Right.
So it's a very important, I feel, for many of the youth who are transitioning from their childhood, finding their individuality as they go through their teens, and that I think that quest goes on for a long time to try and define who you are as an individual in society.
Right.
And that leads to so much gnarling of your soul that manifests in conflict.
Right.
And as yet, one of the things that most students, most youth, they suffer from is definitely
lack
of self-confidence, lack of esteem, self-esteem.
Right.
They're trying to find that, and that quest has so much conflict in it. Right. All the time you're trying to compare yourself with someone else. So much frustration results from that.
Right.
It takes a long time to stabilize, to find out who you are.
The other point is, what Swami is saying, that self-confidence is the basis for what will eventually lead to self-sacrifice. This is again a very, very important point, because a lot of people, you will find in them the nature of self-sacrifice, but without the base of confidence.
Yes, very important point. Yeah.
They think that self-abnegation is self-sacrifice. Mm. Denying yourself comfort, especially you would see this with parents sometimes.
Mm.
Let's say housewives.
Mm.
I think it's most of the crisis when you talk about gender equality, and today when we are not able to give as much importance to the work a homemaker does.
Yeah.
It's because of this. Self-sacrifice is there, but that self-confidence is not there.
Mm.
That feeling that what I'm doing is very, very valuable.
Yeah.
As a society, it's not to blame the female gender for that. Mm. All of us did not value that work which was done.
Mm.
So there was self-sacrifice, but there was no self-confidence there. Mm. It's almost like building something without, the basis.
True.
That is one thing. And the other thing is, even as you're saying, all of us as students, when we are trying to acquire degrees, when we're trying to acquire new skills, we always have a focus on self-confidence, but we forget that this self-confidence should eventually lead to self-sacrifice.
True. Yeah.
Right? That probably should be kept in the mind even when you're striving for self-confidence.
Yes, yes. I recall, talking to one student who said to me that, I'm low on self-esteem, I'm low on self-confidence. So when you actually investigate this, you notice that what is the confidence based on? Like, there's some foundation for that confidence. For many of us, we are confident because of our ability in something.
Right.
But as one person pointed out, let's say that you're very good at science, say physics.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what your confidence is based on, right?
Right.
And then you enter a room full of people who are brighter than you are, you know. Like, and that instance, you suddenly realize that the world is full of people who are far better than you are at anything you claim to be good at. And that cannot be the basis of your confidence. So take any human attribute, right? And you'll find people are at various degrees in that. So your confidence therefore cannot be based. You're almost, it's almost 100% sure you're going to find somebody who is better than you at it. And so that cannot be the basis of your confidence. I'm talking about when I say human attributes, it is intelligence, your looks, right? Any ability that you speak about.
Right.
So that is a very fleeting basis to have your confidence on. So most people, therefore, that conflate or they confuse self-confidence with a certain feeling of being better than other people or a feeling of invincibility.
Right.
But Swami is not speaking about that because he knows that's so temporary. It can evaporate in a second. Right.
And you know, the other problem with that is you tend to remain in the group where you your self-confidence is a little propped up.
Absolutely.
You don't want to leave the group where you are, you know, on top of the hierarchy and go to a group where you'd probably be in the middle or much lower.
Yeah, someone said, no, if you're in a particular room, if you're the brightest person, you're in the wrong room. Yeah.
You know, but talking about self-confidence, and it all comes from comparing yourself with others. And, you know, that's something that Swami would always tell us as students, don't compare yourself with others. And
yes.
One thing which I recall, I mean, from our experience of, you know, when we are in Swami's presence, when we were students, we would always look at the person who is closer to Swami or whom Swami speaks to more, and that's how we would rate ourselves.
Yeah,
you know, that our self-esteem would be based on, you know, that person, Swami speaks to him every day, or that person lives in Swami's mandir, and so-and-so is a staff in Swami's central trust, and, you know, that is how we rate ourselves. I was thinking once, you know, here is Swami, who every discourse without fail, he's saying that you are God. Okay, if you want, forget confidence, if you want pride out of anything, there is nothing which can give you more pride than that.
Right.
That's the ultimate status that you can have. And Swami is saying you already have it.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
But our confidence is not based on that. But our confidence is not coming out of I am God, but I'm my confidence coming out of, you know, I am so much closer to God, or so I'm more closer than so and so to God.
Yes.
It is such a, I mean, it's such an absurd thing to do, but it, in spite of knowing it, it's so difficult for your mind to stop, you know, doing that comparison and putting yourself down or raising yourself
totally
up.
Totally does. I recall going through this, you know, like there is one colleague of mine whom, when Swami went on his trip to Mumbai, okay, so my colleague was chosen and I wasn't, and I, like one day I was... It was very, that day was very difficult, you know, like I was thinking like, why is Swami rejecting me? How is he more important to Swami than I am? And all that, like, but of course, like I didn't act on those feelings, just that thought kept gnawing at me. And then this particular colleague, then he told me one very interesting thing, that when he, what happened to him when he learned that he's on that trip to Mumbai. He recalled that the previous trip that Swami had made to Mumbai, at that time, this particular student, he was my colleague, he was working in a different country altogether, right? And Swami goes to Mumbai, he sees his parents and calls them to speak, and he tells them, this is sometime in 97 or 96, whenever Swami made his trip to Mumbai, and he tells them that the next time I come, both your sons will come with me. This is what he had told, he had made... So almost 10 years prior to that trip to Mumbai, he had already seen that not only this student who is working in some other country, he would leave that job, come back to serve Bhagwan, and then Bhagwan would then, you know, this trip would happen to Mumbai, in which these two will come. At that time he says that even the thought of coming back to Prashanti Nilayam and joining back like Swami's service, that was like not even a speck in his, you know, mind somewhere. It hadn't occurred to him, the thought. And he says Swami has already seen it.
Mm.
So then I realize it's, you know, that our individual, you know, thoughts, our, even our existence as individuals is actually part of something much, much bigger. Right? And it's all right, you know, for us to plan and this and hope for things and this and that. But ultimately it's all tied in. There's a very determined flow of events and you're just part of that.
Right.
And to even imagine that, you know, you can decide the flow or have opinions about that, the way things are flowing, that's like a complete waste of time.
Exactly. When Swami is talking about, you know, the self-confidence and self-sacrifice and all of that, towards the end what Swami says is, you know, what is the common thing in all of this?
Yeah.
It is the self, right? It comes from the self. So, I mean, looking at it, it is not like, what can I do with my life?
Yeah.
You know, that's the question we always talk about.
Yeah.
You know, the moment we graduate, what am I going to do with my life? Or what am I going to achieve?
Right.
And what, how much am I going to achieve? That's the question which we always have. But Swami is telling that, look, I mean, the basis for whatever you're going to do is yourself. So there's no question of, can I achieve or can I not achieve? Everything can be achieved. I mean, there is nothing that cannot be achieved. The only journey of life is you're going to figure out, what are you meant to achieve?
Exactly.
Right? As you're saying that it's all, you know, chalked out. But there is a certain exploration which is going to happen in pursuing something which is already, you know, probably chosen by you. Chosen by somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, when Swami says it's a self. So it's almost like Swami is inviting us to have a different perspective of life itself. The self-confidence, don't let it come from your achievements and attainments. Let it come from something which is common. And which is common with everybody.
Right.
It's not like only you.
Yeah.
Like a quote which I read, there is this, the statement goes, always remind yourself that you're very special. Okay, but don't forget to remind yourself that you're only as special as everybody else. Right? It's almost like that. Swami is saying that you have the self with you, the confidence, the sacrifice, the satisfaction, all comes from that. So it is not like, can I do this? Can I not do this?
Yeah. So in like when you were speaking about comparison sometime back, so Swami is just saying that what the self-confidence is the confidence that has the self as the basis. And to understand that, I think the best way to remember this is the beginning shloka, which comes from the Ishavasya Upanishad. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. So that it is a direct assertion that you're already whole, you're already complete.
Right.
You know, so the comparison, it comes from a place of insufficiency, incompletion, where you think that I'm not complete and I need this. Right. Or even when you say I'm better than somebody else, there is still that something knowing that there must have been a time when you were not better than somebody. Therefore, you're now jubilant that you are. Right. So that comparison always comes from a place of insufficiency. So the Ishavasya Upanishad, and you know, it is directly telling you that this has no basis. And this is a conversation that happens only in your mind, whereas the truth is that you're already complete. That you're already whole, that you're already perfect.
Right.
Starting from there, now look at everything else. So that is the foundation. And the moment that is the foundation, then the, you know, the walls, that self-satisfaction is an immediate consequence.
Right.
You're already, it's done. There's nothing to get, nothing to do. Right. And at that moment, then the, you know, your walls are done. Then comes the element of self-sacrifice. And as you said, self-sacrifice has, it's not about, you know, self-abnegation, not about denying yourself things. Here, self-sacrifice is, I think, essentially sacrificing the self-importance, in some cases sacrificing your self-interest, the outlook which tries to grab everything for itself. Right? That I mean, from an external point of view, it looks like you're giving up something, but essentially it is you expressing like who you truly are, like in the terms of by way of service, by way of helping others, or anything that you do. Right? The world may see it as self-sacrifice. But for you, it is the most natural thing to do when you are coming from self-satisfaction.
Right.
I think what you said is very, very important, that for all of us, we need to really understand that when we take pride in the amount of service, seva that we are doing, where is it coming from? Is it coming from a place of self-satisfaction? is it nourishing, cherishing that or not? If it is not, then we can be absolutely clear that that isn't the spiritual activity.
Yes, exactly. I mean, otherwise it is like through the act of service and, you know, letting go of what you have, you're trying to fill another pit.
Absolutely.
you lack self-confidence, you precisely. Lack self-love.
Yeah.
And through an act which is seen as noble in the world outside, you're trying to prop yourself up and, you know, you're trying to love yourself more.
Yes.
It becomes like, but Swami, on the other hand, he says that, you know, self-sacrifice comes as a natural outcome of self-satisfaction.
Brilliant.
You know, and self-confidence, as Swami would say, that you don't have the fear of losing out. You know, you don't have the fear of, if I give somebody, what will happen to me?
Correct.
You know, and that is the point, at, I mean, the source from which that act of service has to come.
Yes, I mean, you see, if you see the dire straits the world is in today, like water wars and the, you know, the climate change that is now almost becoming reality. But if you look back at it, like, there have always been like spiritual personages who've been coming and reminding us of this, that the world is not, there is abundance. The mind tells you that there is scarcity and you try to grab, but it is a world of abundance, right? And that is something the human mind, it's totally counterintuitive to it. But only humans have the ability. It's like that lock and key, right? At any time, we could have actually absorbed that message and not be, you know, like animals which grab everything for survival. But we haven't. I think we are at a precipitous stage in society because of that.
I mean, a typical situation, let's say that there is a crisis in the society or something, and there is a resource which is running out. Let's say that today they're going to say that drinking water is going to be a problem. You know, what would be the eventual, I mean, what is the natural thing which all we'll all try to hold that water? So actually speaking, you create more scarcity out of the feeling that I might not have enough. Right? You know, it is not, but as you're saying, that idea that there is enough for everybody actually does not create that crisis. But we always end up, you know, getting into the idea of let me grab enough, you know. And it again comes to that. As long as you don't feel self-satisfied, you will eventually keep, you know.
Yes.
In some form or the other, you'll be grabbing.
Because the word enough is a bottomless pit.
Right.
Unless you realize that, like, it's again like going by what the mind is telling you, right? So Swami says, no, there is something deeper, right?
Like, right.
Know who you truly are. And I think this is one of the most important things. As a student, I don't know, I cannot count the number of times Swami would have dilated on these four aspects. Confidence leading to self-satisfaction, leading to self-sacrifice and self-realization. I think it is pretty much the central concept of spirituality.
Right. So we'll go to the next clip. I think this will be the final clip in that discourse. Swami starts off from where till now we spoke. You know, Swami comes to the point of self, and Swami says that what's important is to recognize what that self is in this whole, these four-pronged aspect of this house which Swami was saying. So we'll go to that discourse clip and probably we'll listen to that last part of that discourse.
So students, when we say self, the atmic state is the real self. I told many a times to children, there are two types of self. What are those selves?
One lettered self, I,
is one. The three-lettered self, E-Y-E, is the other.
E-Y-E, body.
E-Y-E, I, is body. One-lettered I is Atma. So when we say I, it is the one-lettered I. Truth is one. The learned call it by various names. That is the real atmic principle. Here, there is no difference between I and one. As per numerology, we call it one.
అక్షర శాస్త్రంలో చూస్తే ఇంగ్లీష్ లో ఐ అంటారు.
అకార్డింగ్ టు ఇంగ్లీష్ ఆల్ఫబెట్స్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఐ.
కానీ అక్షర శాస్త్రం లోపల అనేకంగా పెరిగిపోతుంది తరిగిపోతుంది.
బట్ ఇన్ న్యూమరాలజీ ద నంబర్ ఇంక్రీజెస్ అండ్ డిక్రీజెస్ మానిఫోల్డ్.
1+1+1+1+4 అయిపోయింది.
1+1+1+1 హ్యాస్ బికమ్ 4.
కానీ ఇది i+i+i+i+ కోటి i పెట్టు i అవుతుంది.
But when you write i plus i like this, even if you write a crore i's, it remains as i. This does not increase nor diminish.
i plus i,
if this goes on, then everyone would become just one i. So such an I is the Atmic principle.
ఈ జనంలో ఉంటుంటారు.
In this audience they are there.
రామయ్య ఎవరు I అని చేయొచ్చుతాడు.
If you ask who is Ramayya, then he will raise his hand and say I.
కృష్ణయ్య ఎవరు అంటే I అని చేయొచ్చుతాడు.
If you ask who is Krishnaya, he will raise his hand and say I.
రామమ్మ ఎవరు అంటే I అని చేయొచ్చుతుంది.
If you ask who is Ramamma, she will raise the hand and say I.
కృష్ణమ్మ ఎవరు అంటే చేయొచ్చుతుంది I అని.
When you ask who is Krishnamma is, she will raise the hand and say, I. But both Ramamma and Krishnamma are only unique names and forms. Ramayya and Krishnaya are only unique names and forms. But for my question, the common answer for all was I.
కనుక ఐ ఈజ్ ఎవ్రీవేర్.
సో ఐ ఈజ్ ఎవ్రీవేర్.
అదే నిజమైన ఆత్మ.
దాట్ ఈజ్ రియల్ ఆత్మ.
అట్టి స్వభావము విశ్వాసము మానవుల్లో అభివృద్ధి కావాలి.
సచ్ నేచర్ అండ్ ఫెయిత్ మస్ట్ డెవలప్ ఇన్ మ్యాన్.
ఈనాడు అట్టి స్వభావం లేదు.
టుడే సచ్ నేచర్ ఇస్ నాట్ దేర్.
దేహాన్ని పురస్కరించుకుని, రూపాన్ని పురస్కరించుకుని, పేరును పురస్కరించుకుని,
కన్సిడరింగ్ ద బాడీ ఫార్మ్ అండ్ నేమ్,
ఐ so-and-so అని చెప్పుకుంటున్నాం.
We are saying I am so and so.
కాదు కాదు.
No, no.
ఇది ఎంతకాలం ఉండేటువంటివి?
How long do these exist?
ఈ రూపనామములన్నీ కూడా కేవలము ఒక నీటి గుడగల వంటివి.
These names and forms are merely like water bubbles.
కానీ మాయనటువంటిది, మారనటువంటిది, శాశ్వతంగా ఉండేటువంటి ఐ ఆత్మనే.
But that which remains indestructible, unchangeable and permanent is I, the Atma.
దానిని ఆధారం చేసుకుని,
taking that as the basis,
ఈ దేహ మనస్సుల చేత, ఇంద్రియముల చేత మన కర్తవ్యాన్ని నిర్వర్తించుకోవాలి.
We must get our duties performed through the body, mind and the senses.
విద్యార్థులారా,
students,
ఈ విధమైన యొక్క సమర్థమైన దివ్యత్వాన్ని మనం అభివృద్ధి పరచుకోవాలి.
We must foster this fundamental equanimous divine nature.
అందరి సుఖం కూడాను మనం కోరాలి.
We must seek happiness of all.
మన సుఖం అందరి సుఖం యందే చేరి ఉంటుండాలి.
Our happiness is in the happiness of all.
మన సుఖం ప్రత్యేకంగా లేదు.
Our happiness is not discrete.
తినటం ప్రత్యేకంగా తినవచ్చు.
We might eat separately.
కానీ
but
ఆశించటము అందరి యొక్క ఆనందాన్ని ఆశించాలి.
When we aspire, we must aspire for everyone's happiness.
ఇలాంటి విశాల భావం విద్యార్థుల్లో అభివృద్ధి కావాలి.
Such broad-mindedness must be fostered in students.
ఈ విశాల భావమును చక్కగా వివరింపచేయడానికి, విశదీకరించడానికి, విశాలపరచడానికి ఇంకా చక్కని చక్కని ఆదర్శాలంతా కూడాను ఈ ప్రశ్నోపనిషత్తులో ఉంటున్నాయి.
To explain and clarify clearly about such large-heartedness and expand further, Prashnopanishad has many such good ideals. From tomorrow onwards, such subjects that are new, inspiring subjects, subjects that enthuse, subjects that bestow higher states, we shall discuss from tomorrow. Today we still have programs remaining. Today is Sunday, a holiday. All students have done social work.
కానీ దీనికి పేరేమో సోషల్ వర్క్ కానీ నా దృష్టిలో షో వర్క్ గా మారిపోయింది.
దో ద నేమ్ ఫర్ దిస్ ఇస్ సోషల్ వర్క్, ఇన్ మై వ్యూ ఇట్ హాస్ బికమ్ షో వర్క్. Not even a single student worked properly. Assembling under trees and chattering in groups. The social work in today's Kali age is also like that. We shouldn't do that way. Whatever work one might do, one must consider it as work done for oneself. Am I doing the work satisfactorily or not? Your conscience must give the answer.
చాలా మంది పిల్లలు లాన్ లో కూర్చొని ఒక్కొక్క గరక పోసినంత తీయటం, ఇది ఆ సోషల్ వర్క్.
మోర్ స్టూడెంట్స్ వర్ సిట్టింగ్ డౌన్ ఇన్ ద లాన్స్ పుల్లింగ్ అవుట్ వీడ్స్ అట్ లీజర్. ఇస్ దిస్ సోషల్ వర్క్?
కాదు కాదు కాదు.
నో నో నో.
మన ఆరోగ్యమునకు ఆనందమునకు అనుకూలమునకు సమన్వయమైన వృత్తి యొక్క సాధనలు మనం చెయ్యాలి.
ఫర్ ఆర్ హెల్త్ బ్లిస్ అండ్ కన్వీనియన్స్ వీ మస్ట్ పుట్ ఇన్ సినర్జైజ్డ్ ఎఫర్ట్స్.
మన చుట్టూ పరిసరాల ప్రాంతం అంతా పరిశుద్ధంగా ఉంటుండాలి.
అవర్ సరౌండింగ్స్ అండ్ నైబర్హుడ్ మస్ట్ బి కెప్ట్ క్లీన్.
ఈ పరిశుద్ధంగా ఉండడానికి దానికి సరైన క్లీనింగ్ పరిశుద్ధం చేసుకోవాలి.
ఫర్ దాట్ క్లీన్లీనెస్ ద నెసెసరీ క్లీనింగ్ హ్యాస్ టు బి డన్.
ఇది సోషల్ వర్క్ కంటే మన కోసమే కాదు జనుల కోసము.
సోషల్ వర్క్ మీన్స్ ఇట్స్ నాట్ మియర్లీ ఫర్ అస్, ఇట్ ఇస్ ఫర్ ద పీపుల్.
సమాజం కోసము.
ఫర్ ద సొసైటీ.
ప్రజల కోసము.
For the people.
ప్రజలకు అనుకూలమైనటువంటి ఒక సేవ చేయాలి.
We must do service that helps people.
ప్రజలకు ఆరోగ్యాన్ని అందించేటువంటి సేవ చేయాలి.
We need to do such service that confers health on people.
ప్రజలకు ఆదర్శవంతమైన సేవ చేయాలి.
We should do ideal service for the people.
కనుక ఇంకా ముందైనా కూడాను ఆడపిల్లలు బాగా చేశారు కానీ మగపిల్లలు అంత బాగా చేయలేదు.
The girl students have done well, but the boys have not done too well.
కేవలం ఒక షో చూచినట్టుగా చేస్తూ వచ్చేసారు.
దే హ్యావ్ డన్ యాజ్ ఇఫ్ దే ఆర్ సీయింగ్ అ షో.
అది చేయకూడదు బంగారు.
డియర్ వన్స్, యూ షుడెంట్ డూ దాట్ వే.
హృదయపూర్వకంగా మన కాన్షియస్ మనకు తృప్తిగా ఉంటుండాలి.
వి మస్ట్ డూ హోల్ హార్టెడ్లీ అన్ టు ద సాటిస్ఫాక్షన్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ కాన్షియన్స్.
ఎవరేమనుకుంటారు అనేటువంటి యొక్క భయాన్ని కూడా మనం విసర్జించాలి.
వి షుడ్ ఆల్సో గివ్ అప్ ద ఫియర్ ఆఫ్ వాట్ అదర్స్ వుడ్ థింక్.
మనం స్నానం చేసుకుంటున్నాము.
వి టేక్ బాత్ అవర్ సెల్స్.
మనలో ఉన్న మురికినంతా మనం తీసుకుంటున్నాము.
We cleanse ourselves of the dirt.
ఎవరో ఏమనుకుంటుంటారో అనుకుని మురికినంతా అట్లే పెట్టుకుంటామా?
Do we retain the dirt saying, oh, what would others think?
కాదు, లోకములు ఏమనుకునే గాని నేను చేసేది మంచి పని.
Never let the world think anything. What I am doing is good work.
ధైర్యం మనలో రావాలి.
Such kind of courage should develop in us.
ఆ యొక్క విశ్వాసం మనలో రావాలి.
Such kind of faith should develop in us.
యువకుల లోపల ఈ విధమైన విశ్వాసం ఈనాడు సన్నగిల్లింది.
సచ్ ఫెయిత్ హస్ డిమినిష్డ్ ఇన్ టుడేస్ యూత్.
ఏ సేవ చేసినా మనస్ఫూర్తిగా చేయాలి.
వాట్ ఎవర్ సర్వీస్ వీ డూ, వీ మస్ట్ డూ ఇట్ హోల్ హార్టెడ్లీ.
అప్పుడే అది తగినటువంటి యొక్క ఫలితాన్ని అందిస్తుంది.
ఓన్లీ దెన్ విల్ ఇట్ కన్ఫర్ ది అప్రోప్రియేట్ రిజల్ట్స్.
అలసిపోయారు,
యూఆర్ ఆల్ టైర్డ్,
కనుక ఈనాడు సంగీత కార్యక్రమాల లోపల కూడా నువ్వు పాల్గొని,
సో పార్టిసిపేట్ ఇన్ టుడేస్ మ్యూజిక్ ప్రోగ్రామ్ టూ.
రేపటి నుంచి,
టుమారో ఆన్వర్డ్స్,
మీ హృదయాలు సరైన స్థితిలో ఉంచుకుని,
కీపింగ్ యువర్ హార్ట్ ఇన్ ద రైట్ స్టేట్,
చెప్పేటువంటి విషయాలు హృదయాల లోపల రికార్డ్ చేసుకోవాలి.
రికార్డ్ ఇన్ యువర్ హార్ట్స్ వాట్ ఇస్ టోల్డ్.
కేవలం టేప్ రికార్డులు చేసుకోవడానికి ప్రయోజనం లేదు.
జస్ట్ రికార్డింగ్ ఆన్ అ టేప్ రికార్డర్ ఇస్ ఆఫ్ నో యూజ్.
టేప్ రికార్డు టేప్ రికార్డులోనే ఉంటాయి.
వాట్ ఇస్ ఇన్ అ టేప్ రికార్డర్ రిమైన్స్ ఇన్ అ టేప్ రికార్డర్.
కానీ రికార్డ్ ఇక్కడ కావాలి.
బట్ ఇట్ షుడ్ రికార్డ్ హియర్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్.
అప్పుడే ఇది ఒక నెగటివ్ మాదిరి ఉంటుంటాది.
ఓన్లీ దెన్ ఇట్ విల్ బి లైక్ ఎ నెగటివ్.
ఈ నెగటివ్ మన దగ్గర ఉంటుంటే ఎప్పుడైనా ఏ కాలంలో ఏ స్థానంలో అయినప్పుడు తిరిగి దాన్ని ప్రింట్ చేసుకోవచ్చు.
ఇఫ్ ద నెగటివ్ ఇస్ విత్ అస్ అట్ ఎనీ టైమ్ అట్ ఎనీ ప్లేస్ వీ కెన్ మేక్ ప్రింట్స్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ అగైన్.
కేవలం టేప్ రికార్డులు చేసుకుంటే ఇది పోలరాయిడ్ పిక్చర్ మాదిరి ఉంటుంది.
వెన్ వీ డూ ఇట్ ఇన్ అ టేప్ రికార్డర్ ఇట్ విల్ బి లైక్ ఎ పోలరాయిడ్ పిక్చర్.
ఇది ప్రయోజనం కాదు.
దిస్ ఇస్ యూస్లెస్.
విద్యార్థులారా,
స్టూడెంట్స్,
ఈ పెద్దలంతా వచ్చి బోధించేటువంటి విషయాలు,
ద సబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఎల్డర్స్ కమ్ అండ్ టీచ్ యూ,
అనుభవములంతా కూడా ఇచ్చేటువంటి ఆదేశాలు,
ద ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ గివెన్ బై ద ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ వన్స్
నింపుకోవాలి,
మస్ట్ బి ఫిల్డ్ ఇన్ టు ద హార్ట్.
అందుకోసమని అప్పుడు అది నింపుకున్నప్పుడే మన జీవితం లోపల అవసరమైనప్పుడంతా కూడా దాన్ని వినియోగించుకోవచ్చు.
దాట్స్ వై వెన్ వీ స్టోర్ ఇట్ ఇన్ అవర్ హార్ట్ వీ కెన్ యూజ్ ఇట్ వెన్ ఎవర్ ద నీడ్ అరైజెస్ ఇన్ లైఫ్.
వినియోగించుకుని మన అవసరాలంతా తీర్చుకోవచ్చును.
బై యూటిలైజింగ్ ఇట్ వి కెన్ ఫుల్ఫిల్ ఆర్ నీడ్స్.
ఆనందాన్ని అందుకోవచ్చును.
వి కెన్ ఆబ్టైన్ బ్లిస్.
కష్టమును ఎదుర్కోవచ్చును.
ఆబ్స్టికల్స్ కెన్ బి ఫేస్డ్.
ధైర్యంగా సాధించవచ్చును.
వి కెన్ కరేజియస్లీ అచీవ్.
ఈ విధమైన జీవితాన్ని మనం మున్ముందు అభివృద్ధి గావించుకున్నప్పుడే భారతదేశము ఎంత ఉన్నతమైన స్థితికి రాగలదు.
When we foster our lives in such a manner, India can attain great heights in future. India is more sacred than all other nations. All nations are indeed sacred. However, this is the land of sacrifice, spirituality and action.
కానీ దురదృష్టవశాత్తు ఇతరులు మనం అనుసరించి దీని కూడా భోగభూమిగా మార్చాలని ప్రయత్నిస్తున్నాం.
బట్ అన్ఫార్చునేట్లీ ఫాలోయింగ్ అదర్స్ వీఆర్ ట్రైంగ్ టు టర్న్ దిస్ ల్యాండ్ టు ఇంటూ అ ల్యాండ్ ఆఫ్ ప్లెజర్ అండ్ ఇండల్జెన్స్.
భోగం అక్కర్లేదు.
వీ డోంట్ నీడ్ ప్లెజర్.
త్యాగమే అవసరం.
సాక్రిఫైస్ ఇస్ వాట్స్ నెససరీ.
కర్మనే అవసరము.
యాక్షన్ అలోన్ ఇస్ నెససరీ.
కర్మణ్యేవ అధికారశ్చ. కర్మనే నీ యొక్క అధికారం.
ఓన్లీ యాక్షన్ ఇస్ యువర్ రైట్.
కర్మానుబంధీని మనుష్యలోకి. ఈ మనుష్య లోకం అంతా కర్మచేతనే కట్టబడి ఉంటుండాలి.
ద వరల్డ్ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్ ఇస్ బౌండ్ బై యాక్షన్.
కాబట్టి మనం కర్మజీవులు కావాలి.
హెన్స్ వీ మస్ట్ బికమ్ పీపుల్ ఆఫ్ యాక్షన్.
కర్మ వీరులు కావాలి.
వీ మస్ట్ బికమ్ హీరోస్ ఆఫ్ యాక్షన్.
కర్మ ఫల త్యాగులు కావాలి.
వీ మస్ట్ బికమ్ రినన్షియన్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫ్రూట్స్ ఆఫ్ యాక్షన్స్.
కనుక ఆ విధమైనటువంటి దీంతో మీరు మున్ముందు దేశానికి తగినటువంటి ఒక రీతిలో ఆదర్శాన్ని అందిస్తారని నేను ఆశిస్తూ ఆశీర్వదిస్తూ నా ప్రసంగాన్ని విరమిస్తున్నాను.
సో ఐ హోప్ అండ్ విష్ దాట్ యూ వుడ్ బి సెటింగ్ ఎన్ ఐడియల్ టు ద కంట్రీ ఇన్ ఫ్యూచర్ బ్లెస్సింగ్. దస్ ఐ బ్రింగ్ మై డిస్కోర్స్ టు అ క్లోజ్.
దట్ వాజ్ ది ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ డిస్కోర్స్ అండ్ దేర్ ఇస్ మచ్ టు టాక్ అబౌట్ వాట్ స్వామి సెడ్ బట్ ప్రాబ్లీ విల్ స్టార్ట్ విత్ వన్ థింగ్ విచ్ Swami said, and probably I most respectfully disagree what Swami said, that it's no use if this talk and discourse is recorded on a tape recorder. Thank God it was recorded on a tape recorder, that today we are sitting and listening to it. So Swami, it's not after all that useless.
Yeah, it's actually such a nice feeling to have, like somewhere towards the end, I really felt like Swami is physically there and speaking
right
to us.
I mean, there is so much difference. Yeah. I mean, thanks to the work which we do at Radio Sai, yeah, the nature of our work, we get to read through a lot of discourses.
Hmm.
But sometimes the same discourse which you have read through, when you listen to Swami speaking, it's completely different. The energy is completely different. And if you get to see Swami delivering the discourse in a video, it's, I think, altogether different.
Yeah,
feeling.
Especially this part when Swami was scolding the students, saying that they have not done it wholeheartedly. I could almost, you know, that pictures how Swami was speaking out those sentences. It was quite good. Yeah. So, like, actually, Swami has therefore continued, no? Like, from.
Right.
So we are actually coming to the tree that has to be climbed.
Mm.
And Swami is very clear that it has to be the self, it has to be the Atma. And the way Swami puts it is that this is, because the Atma is the permanent thing and it neither grows nor decays. Like just as you said, Purnamada, Purnamidam. Mm. So that the mathematics there states that from the whole, when I subtract the whole, neither that remains whole and what came out is also the whole.
Mm.
And here Swami is putting it as a problem in addition.
Mm.
And he says that when you look at so many selves and you add them all up, it doesn't amount to like that many selves. It's still just one.
Right.
And as the Vedas, they put it, you know, to help us understand, they say, imagine that you got like so many pots of water and the sun is reflected in each.
Mm.
It's the same sun that got reflected. So that's how the, you know, Vedas, they encourage us to visualize this thing.
And there is this, I mean, this is the most fundamental aspect about Advaita itself, where you acknowledge that what has to be true has to be permanent. I think it's very logical. It's not like rocket science, because simple thing is like, suppose somebody asks me, who is Hari? I will not describe you based on what you're wearing right now, right? Because that is something which changes. Like, today, now you're in whites, you go back and you change. And some other day you might be in some other, it is not right to refer to you or fix your identity based on what you're wearing at the moment.
Hmm.
So Swami says, similarly, today you are wearing this body, and 10 years back you were wearing the body of a young boy, and 20 years later it's going to be a body of an old person. So how can this be your reality? And after birth you change your body, like how you change your clothes. So that cannot be your reality. And that's what Swami is saying, that you know, what is impermanent cannot be truth. What is permanent is that I. You know, whenever you are asked, you say, I am so and so, I am a boy, I am a man, I am a, you know, young adult or something. So that is the permanent thing, and that is your reality. That ability to fix your reality on that which is unchanging.
As one famous divine master, he said this, if there is only one thing that you can be certain of in this entire world, it is that you are.
Right, beautiful.
And there is nothing else that you can be confident about. The only thing is that you are. That's not even that, you know, somebody else exists, but you know that you exist. And he says, just hold on to that.
And then, you know, very, very beautifully Swami goes on to the idea of seva, while talking about, you know, the atma and all of that. And where he says, when you realize that it's myself is the same as the self and everybody around, you know, that should give you that idea of equanimity. And that will automatically make you feel that I can be happy only when everybody else is happy.
Oh, yes.
And so effortlessly Swami brings it to that. You know, the moment, I mean, see, one thing is when Swami speaks about realizing that you are actually the I, and that I is divine, that realization part is sometime in the future. I think right now it's not our experience in the moment. You know, that realization will come later. But acknowledging that that is the truth, which I might not be able to realize right now, but I at least acknowledge that that is the truth, should give you this idea of equanimity.
Right.
Should give you that idea that, you know, what I wish for myself, I should be able to wish for the others too. Right?
But in a sense, like, Swami has been building up to this, the final climax of the discourse in so many different places, right? First, Swami spoke about the purpose of life. What should be the purpose of life? Actually taking over from the question which the student first asked Sage Pipilada, that like, how do beings come into, you know, the this thing. So Swami speaks about the divine principles that are actually at work when a being, you know, sort of originates in this universe, and to not forget that.
Right.
And the moment, so first Swami is giving us that, you know, saying that the provenance of each being is like so special, so unique, and has happened in such a sacred manner, and hence do not waste it away. And so the purpose cannot be something like very trivial, like, you know, the pursuit of money or the pursuit of fame. It has to be something greater than that. So Swami first tells us that, right? What is the purpose of life? Then again, when just a few minutes ago we were talking about the house of self-realization, then again Swami is touching upon that when he says self-sacrifice.
Right.
And if we recall, the discourse itself began with paropakarartham idam shariram, that this body is meant for the service of others.
Even before Swami spoke about that concept of jnatum, drashtum and praveshtum, just before that, the concept that Swami spoke of was the same thing. What is the purpose of life? Defined in a different way. He said, you know, you go through life, you know what is good, what is bad, then you find ways of attaining what is good, and understanding what is good, and, you know, how to get over what is bad. And then Swami said, then sharing this knowledge with others. That is what completes the circle. It's not just about knowing, it's not just about realizing, that after you do that, the ability to share it with others, this experience. And Swami said, that is the purpose of life. As you're saying, that in many, many ways and different angles, Swami has been bringing up this point of sharing and growing as society.
And when he comes to this particular topic, when it's Swami is showing us the way in which it is to be done, the practical aspect is, you know, the service. And again, like, Swami is cutting out, you know, pretty much frills that we attach to service. You know, finally, service, seva, it is not meant to be done in order to impress someone else or to gain recognition, which pretty much, you know, what we are after. And yet, Swami is again driving us out from that, you know. So, I remember how Swami used to pun on this, you know. He used to say, you all say social service, but it becomes social, show social service. So where you are trying to impress others, you know, this is what I do, the magnitude of tasks that I do, and you never tire of telling people of like what all you're doing, you know, by way of service to others. So that is one. So I'm saying it's not meant for that. Then the other is to say social service. You know, where Swami is to say that wherever there is an opportunity to do good, do not lose any time to do it. Right? Any delay, any such delay, it just aggravates the situation. So, as far as you can, like, do not delay whatever good. Shubhasya Shigram. Yeah? So, the good that you need to do has to be done as soon as it can be done.
No, talking about show as service,
you're
reminded of a very, very profound incident which, you know, Mrs. Geeta Ram narrates. Apparently, once when her mother was traveling to UK, Swami had called them for an interview, and Swami was kind of telling her not to be too worried, it's okay. I mean, because she's traveling out of India for the first time. So, Swami even gave her some, you know, money in that currency to spend there. And Swami is telling, don't worry and all that. And along with them, Swami had also invited another lady from a different town. So, every now and then, this lady would interject in the conversation and say, Swami, we do so much seva in our town, you should come and, you know, see. And Swami would say, yeah, manchidi and all that, and continue with talking to these two. And every now and then, she would, you know, want to catch Swami's attention. So, she would say, Swami, we do Narayan seva. Swami, we do, we follow the sailing on desires. We keep away rice and we cook it and we... Sometime in between, Swami said, I have come to your town and I have seen the service. Okay, but this lady wouldn't stop. He said, no, Swami, physically you have not come. You should come and all that. So after some time, Swami's apparently patience ran out. Okay? And Swami looked at her and Swami said, what seva do you do? So she said, oh, Swami, we do so much Narayan seva and all that. Swami said, I know what Narayan seva you do. And Swami said, 10 rupees rice for home, 2 rupees rice for Narayan seva. Okay. This lady was a little taken aback by that. She said, no, Swami, whatever I cook for my home, only I, you know, give it out for this one. Swami said, no. Swami told her, wait, got up and went into the inner room. And Swami comes back with a bag, which is red in color, very, very soiled. Like, you know, a cloth bag. And Swami said, do you remember this bag? And this lady was like, I mean, by then she was out. You know, so shocked. Then Swami went on to tell, do you remember one day a beggar came to your house and asked you for food? And this rice, which is actually low quality rice, which you had kept aside for Narayan Seva, you didn't want to cook for your own people. You kept it aside thinking that you will give it away for Narayan Seva. You picked it up and gave it to that beggar. Swami said, I was the one who came. And imagine Swami getting it out of the interview room and showing it to her. Like, you know, when... I think in, when Swami was talking about these boys are not doing properly, you know, girls are doing and you people are just doing a show. No, it only comes out of Swami saying that even if you're saying that I'm doing it for Swami, at some point that Swami has to be that self, because that's what Swami is saying, that do it for your own satisfaction. Keep your conscience as your, you know, as your
touchstone.
Because Swami is saying, even if you're saying that I'm doing for Swami, because in our mind, we have this separateness of, you know, here is Swami in front of me and this is me. You know, and that reflects in the work that you do.
Yeah, it's very, very vital, because it's not just confined to service, you know. Like, the what we as humans, we tend to believe is that if we have pleased everybody around us, somehow kept the right people happy, that means we are doing a good job of living our life. Somehow, if we can manage the people around us. And, you know, we can show them the right sides of us, the best sides of who we are. And so we've covered up. So one person, you know, he likened this to saying, like, it's like you got dung and you've then covered it with ice cream. And for most people, you know, they think that that's what people can sense. But they can also smell the dung. So it's very, you know, that's why Swami says that the touchstone has to be your conscience. Finally, but most of us have, in some sense, learned to drown out even that voice. That's the saddest. At some point of time, we've learned to cut it out so much that, like, it's for us the most sacred thing is what people have to say about us. How we can look good in their eyes.
Like, yes, you know, Venkatraman sir would say, it's like any other electronic gadget which you have. You know, if you have a telephone line, Okay. Once in a while, you have to pick up the receiver and see if the line is still live. You know, at least do that much. You would say your conscience is like that. At least once in a while, consult it.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, your mind's voice will be so much louder that, as you're saying, you know, you will just shout over your conscience and absolutely silence it completely.
Yeah. Yeah. Because who we fundamentally are, I think it always screams out. But a few months back, we had the international organization, I think it was during Guru Purnima or one of the festivals, they had a workshop, you know, on, so many of the Seva volunteers had come over, and I had one of my close friends who's from the United States, and he was part of this workshop. So I was very curious, you know, one of the nice things they held was actually a workshop on Seva, like, you know, study groups, how do we do it. And I was very curious, you know, what would they talk about? What was most heartening for me, what I was very delighted to hear about, is that they place a lot of emphasis on taking up projects which are actually beneficial to society. See, the criterion is not that when I do this, these are going to be my TRP ratings, that people are going to see it and appreciate it. That wasn't the point. That's totally cut out. You know, that is the thing I really appreciate, and the fact that world over, we as a SAI organization, just imagine that all of us, you know, with that love for Swami, we come together and we decide that we'll make a difference in society where we are.
Mm.
Just imagine that, what a force of change we could be.
Mm.
And it doesn't need any appreciation from society, nothing. I know of like one person, single-handedly, like he used to have this seva in Bangalore of taking like water tankers to the slums or people who didn't have access to water, and he would deliver it to them. Now, did it feature in any news channel or did anyone report it? He didn't really care about that. All he wanted was is Swami pleased by it. He'd come back and check. You know, even with our mobile hospital, the person Satya Sai Mobile Hospital, the person who originally donated that bus, I recall, you know, I was there when he brought the bus to Swami. He's a very wealthy industrialist. He's known all over India, right, in that particular sector. But 2 days, I waited along with him for Swami to come and inaugurate the bus. I was there in the capacity of a photographer, very privileged because it's attached to the medical division under which this, so I had a kind of right to be there. But I was watching this person so patiently. For 8 hours a day, he would sit near that bus and wait for Bhagwan to come and bless it. And while my patience was running out, I was thinking, what is keeping this person, you know, going? If it were any other motive that, you know, I have brought this bus and I am donating it, and therefore, like, I cannot, you know, brook such delay in accepting that arrogance, it would not have cut with Bhagwan. Right? But it wasn't that. I admire that person so much. He just sat there, patiently waited when Bhagwan, you know, he would find the right time to come and bless that bus and that service. So much humility he offered it to Bhagwan. And that was really a lesson for me, you know. Like, sometimes we really don't know what a privilege it is to offer anything to Bhagwan. Right? Most of the people, billions of people on this planet, and they're not aware of Bhagwan, that he exists, they don't have that relationship. And we have this privilege that we can offer something. Like at the end of the program, we say we offer, but that is a privilege. We cannot, that love.
Exactly, you know, just looking at this entire discourse, Swami starts with by saying, Parupakaratmidam Shariram. But it's almost like the rest of the discourse, Swami saying that it's not so simple. You know, it's not simply going out in the evening and doing something. And Swami says it involves all of this. And eventually, you know, Swami comes through all of these things where he says that do it for self-satisfaction, do it for this, and do it with a higher purpose in mind. Do it because this is the expression of life itself. And all of that, and Swami is saying that, you know, at the end of it, it is all coming to the way you do it. Karma is the essence. You know, when the end of it, Swami says, this is the Karma Bhumi. And, you know, as you were saying, that you have the opportunity here to do an offer.
Mm.
Right? And he says, this is the Karma Bhumi, Yoga Bhumi. You know, where this is the place you have given the opportunity not just to do, but to do it without being the doer. You know, mm. And that is a grand opportunity which has been given. And to go through a discourse like this,
mm.
and it's not just to be inspired to do, but to be inspired to do it the right way.
Yeah.
And
with the wisdom.
With the wisdom and with the purpose as the, you know, the guiding light for the action itself.
Mm.
I think that's really, as you were saying, how many of us are really privileged, how many in the world are privileged with that kind of, you know, mm. right perspective.
That's right.
So I think we'll end with that. We've short our time a bit. But we'll end with, of course, the bhajan which Swami sang at the end of that discourse. Really a beautiful discourse in many, many ways, and enjoyed going through this discourse. We took a long time to complete the discourse, but I think it was worth every bit because Swami was covering so many various aspects as we were seeing. And this is just the one or two questions that the disciples asked, or the first question the disciples asked.
Mm, one of six.
Right. So we'll continue with the next discourse, dear listeners. Next week we'll start the seventh discourse, new discourse. So do join us again, 7:30 p.m. on Asia Stream on Thursday Live. We most humbly and lovingly offer this effort at Swami's lotus feet. As I said, we'll conclude by playing for you the bhajan that Swami sang at the end of this discourse.
Govinda Hare, Gopal Hare, De Gopi Gopabala. Guru, Vahe Guru, Vahe Guru, Vahe Guru.